podcast room. I love it.
All right, let me get a little quick drink. Anything off limits?
Nah, but I'm probably going to get in trouble. Like,
you've already, when you're on your story talking about maths, I'm always like...
Yeah. Oh, just in general. I've got so many strong opinions on shit.
Daniel Holmes.
What up?
Is how you pronounce it?
Yeah. Legend.
Thank you so much for coming over.
Pleasure, my man.
I've been so excited about that. We've been chatting a lot. We've known each other for quite a while.
Yeah.
Through like social media, but we've, you know, I think we've always like messaged or reached out about certain subjects. So straight up, you're on maths, which was crazy because like personally, I don't watch like normal TV.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a lot of the episodes. So I get to like geek out and talk to you about it on a level where it's like an outsider person.
Yeah.
But I do know, for example, some of my younger clients or like, you know, I'll look online and people are all talking about it when the show's on, and even like 6 months after, it's like radical. Like it's an obsession and people love the drama. So I'd love to chat about some stuff like that. But what's even more interesting to me is like the shift I've seen where you went from being like jacked bodybuilder, like all in on bodybuilding and fitness and stuff, which I was never as big as you, but I was in that same world, like competing and like trying to get jacked, and like life was all, I thought that's what life was about. And then seeing your shift and being like, oh, you can do anything you want to do. You don't have to be this like 4-5% body fat, like muscular, huge guy. Like you probably had more success in the short time getting into the reality TV.
Yeah. And see, I used to look at guys that had shifted their life in a sense similar to coming off steroids and think the same thing. I'm like, oh, you don't have to be something. Like you can be whatever you want to be. But yeah, I only really came off because of maths.
I was going to ask you that. Like for me with using in my younger career, it's like coming off really was to be able to like go to Europe and travel and everything. Mm. I didn't want to be like trying to get someone to find like testosterone for me, you know what I mean? And also like just, I could see that like, where does this end? Like never lean enough, never big enough. And then the muscles get bigger, but the tendons don't keep up.
Exactly.
And you get like strains, and then you can't even put your seatbelt on in the car. And you're like, the only people that are giving you compliments are like the guys at the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so maths, like I want to go back. Like, so where are you in life and how did you even get involved in maths at all?
I'd actually been a fan of the show like for the previous seasons, and honestly I was just at home, I remember like it was yesterday, I was at home just scrolling, trapped in the loop as we get, and I seen a form, it was like apply for maths, and I was like, I thought of it as a joke, I was like, let me just click, and I just started filling out, I think it was baked, and I was just like, see what happens,
down the rabbit hole.
And then just started filling out the basic questions. And then like by the next day, they were blowing my phone up. We want to see you, want to catch up. And I met them in person and it just went quick.
There's millions of people who try to get on this show, man.
Yeah, it's insane. They have a set criteria, I think. They have already the characters laid out.
Because of your outspokenness.
Probably.
Which didn't do well in other parts of life.
Yeah.
It just stood out in this situation.
I believe so, yeah.
I got approached by like heaps of like not as big as maths, and it was before maths, like Love Island and a few other TV shows, and then they'd pitch me like these like television brands would pitch me these shows that haven't even come out yet, and like we want you to be a part of the first one and everything. And it was always shows where I had to be single or pretend to be single, and I've been with Alicia for 12 years, and I'd show her the message and she'd look at me like, are you fucking crazy? You think I'm gonna fucking want to watch you pretending to like, and because a lot of the times when I would tell these to managers or like, what are they, like
producers,
the seeking people, I'd be like, hey, I'm in a relationship, and they're like, what you can do is we can have someone who like does a big plot twist where like you keep it chilled, and then a few episodes in you become honest about your relationship, and they're like, and then what then, like, and Alicia just looked at me like, would you let me do that? I'm like, no way. And like I just put it aside, and I don't know if I could have really handled it either. Like, so you do that, they're all over you like a hot dinner, they're just like keen. And then your life must change very quickly.
Yeah, it was basically, I was living in Brisbane. It was fly down to Sydney, get straight into it. You get paid around $1,400 a week. So it was like, that will cover the bills at home.
Yeah.
And then it's not much.
But I mean, some people are only making $1,000 doing full-time personal
training. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So it was like enough to cover bills and do all that kind of jazz while you live in this bubble of maps for 3 months. You know, so
and even before, you have to like, you couldn't, because the thing that I notice is because, like, I'd had followed you on Instagram because of the bodybuilding fitness scene. And I always thought, like, some of your things that you say were, like, really cool, and I could agree to them, outspokenness, I suppose. And you just had crazy physique too. And I think when you're young, like, you look up to that, like, the way we looked up to Arnie or whatever as well. Yeah. And I remember just, like, not seeing much from you for a short amount of time. Yeah. And I didn't think much of it. And then a bit of time goes by and then boom.
Yeah.
You're like in a suit.
Yeah.
And there's, I'm like, what did I miss?
Yeah. Yeah, it goes very quick. And because once you go down there, they take over your social media as well. So you don't have the ability to post anything.
Oh.
When you're on the show, they'll send you a few things and be like, pick a photo. We'll throw it up on your behalf. But yeah, instant shift. from a full cycle to natty.
Just put cold turkey on it. That would have helped with the drama.
Oh man, I was like cooked. And like I speak about, like, I have so many.
You're strong, so open about it.
It's awesome. And I have some really strong opinions on steroids now. And I when I speak about it, I don't want it to ever come across as like I'm on a high horse. Like I'm off now. You know, this is my opinion. I'm just saying it because it's the truth, and no one really talks about it.
Exactly. And for you personally, you're allowed to say that because it's what you feel like.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, you look younger now than what you did like 5 years ago, four years ago.
Like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many side effects of gear, and one of them is that, like, it ages you.
Your face, like, ages. You look at, like, Larry Wheels, like, when he was, like, I don't know, like, late 20s, looked like he was 40, but he was also one of the strongest guys in the world. And it's like, at what cost? And you hear of him just recently. He was on, like, the Mike Thurston podcast or somewhere else, and he's come out about a few different things, but one of them was, like, he fully had to go on like an anti-test, anti-steroid kind of like protocol to fix his like multiplied aging and the fullness in his face and the structure and stuff. So like he's like really tried to use, like, because he's made a lot of money through his branding, he's really tried to use like all these like anti-aging things.
Really?
And it's like we're going, it's like, it's, I could use an example of bulk until you're like massive and then cut back down, or you just stay lean and just do a slow growth. It's like that's like people who use shit, and a lot of these days are like 16-year-old boys and girls as well. Girls, heaps of girls are using shit because they want to be famous on TikTok or Instagram by looking jacked and having big glutes and stuff. And then you mix that with like BBL surgeries that are pretty popular.
Yes.
And these guys are taking shit when they're like 15, and it's like, okay, it's getting a bit crazy.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about gear, like. My cousin's 16, and a lot of his friends at that age, that like the people that are getting, or the demographic that are getting into the gym now, is getting younger and younger. So they're going to be proposed with the offer of steroids at a younger age. And it's pretty scary, man, because it can take over your life. It's an addiction like any other addiction.
Absolutely.
It is completely the same as a heroin addiction, a nicotine addiction, alcoholic addiction. It's the same. There's no difference.
It is the same like pathway of an addictive personality. Yeah. So like if you have a young male who's like competitive, or like, for example, I was obsessed with playing like video games. I was like, I never had internet growing up. So I basically moved in with my first girlfriend with her parents, and her little brother showed me what like Halo 3 was on an Xbox.
Dope.
And he beat me, he smashed me, like killed me like hundreds of times, and I'd just play against him. And then I got good enough where I was beating him. And then we're like, let's play online. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I come from a country town.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we play online. We're on the same team, because he's got sick of me killing him. And then I started getting obsessed with playing online. I started like, when I would lose, I was like very addictive personality, like very competitive. Mm. And then I got to the point where I got my own Xbox, and I was playing like 5-6 hours a day before school, after school. Ended up getting to the point where I was getting ready to like go and play in Brisbane, like at like proper LAN games and competitively. Yeah. And I had like a top 2% in Australia account on there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be like a Halo 3 player.
You should have pursued that. That's dope.
I was nowhere near as good as any American good player.
Oh, really?
Like at that stage, the top Australian players were like not even in the top 5% in like America or Europe. Oh. And then you look at the Asian countries and they're like, they're insane. So it was just like wannabe. Like I was good against average people.
Right.
That's kind of like bodybuilding for me as well. Yeah. Good against average people. But what I mean by that is I have an addictive personality. And what's crazy is people just think like, oh, okay, you're playing video games and whatnot. I was doing boxing the whole time and training weights and like doing a lot of other stuff. I just was addicted to doing it all.
Mm.
I wanted to be good at everything.
Yeah.
And that carried over into like bodybuilding, and you're like, oh, why is this guy so much bigger and leaner than me?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you find out.
You find out. And that's the thing. Everyone gets hit with that, like that realization in the gym, and you have the option, the red pill, the blue pill, like, am I going to take this path?
Yeah.
And even if you say no initially, you're going to consistently get proposed with that option. And depending on your personality type, depending on the situation, you're going to crack or not. And I cracked pretty early. Like, I wasn't training naturally for very long. I jumped on it quick and was on it consistently for 7 years straight, like full cycles. Because here's the thing, most bodybuilders and people that are addicted to steroids, I say it's an addiction because
yeah, it is. Absolutely.
We don't like to tell ourselves that we're addicted. We go, oh, nah, I can come off. I come off all the time. It's like, no, you don't. You just lower the dose until you're ready to go back up because you have tried to come off once. You felt the effects and the withdrawals and you said, fuck that, I'm jumping back on.
Yeah.
And then you just stay on. And, you know, it's so strange because no one with any like social influence in the fitness industry is standing up and going, yo, why is this not taken serious?
Yeah,
like this is an addiction. We need to like start taking this serious because it is an addiction. Like I said, you're going to feel the withdrawals after. It took me about 8 months before I started to feel normal to some degree.
And at this point, you were filming one of the biggest, highly watched TV show in Australia.
Yeah. So I'm going through all these crazy
You're going
shit.
Through all these hormonal changes.
Yeah. And like you're watching your body just like decay or not decay, but
like, you're losing muscle rapidly.
You're losing the thing that you've seen for 7 years straight.
Because you're not just going down to baseline. And this is what really blew me away.
Yeah.
You're not just going around a baseline. You're going from having like quadruple, four times the amount of testosterone that you would normally have to then going, and this is even sometimes eight times with bodybuilders or whatnot, but then going to like 1/5 of what a normal boy would have as testosterone or a man. So you're going from like literally Superman
to a woman
to I reckon a woman would probably have more tests
for sure.
Like, and she would be used to having more tests. Her estrogen would work well with her. Yeah. And you got all this muscle and you got all this kind of muscle memory. And one of the hardest things for me was like learning how to train less because when I was on, I could recover.
Exactly.
You could just train, recover, train. Like you could have the shittest program and get like, this is the thing. Like a lot of people online who are like, sell programs or do certain things that have good physiques. I'm like, well, their program may not work for natural people. They could be shoveling dirt in the backyard, and if you're running enough tests, you probably look really good.
100%. Yeah. I found that as well. And the other thing with coming off is like, you could be working your hardest to try and get that muscle back, but mentally, or not even mentally, physically, your body's still losing muscle.
Yeah.
But you're like training your heart off, and it's just it's such a mind game to come off. Not to mention like your hormone levels all over the shop. You'll destroy relationships because you're that much of a mess coming off, as if you were trying to come off heroin.
It's
the same thing, but no one in the industry is talking about it.
The funny thing though is, not the funny thing, the bit that I would discuss on the other side is, I actually know people, including myself, that like, I was like very headstrong, and I think just because I never really went too crazy on, I never really got like super, super jacked. Like, yeah, I was in much better shape than I was now, but I actually didn't find too crazy of a negativity. But then I'd have a friend who would like come off that I trained with, and his whole personality, and like he wouldn't come out of his room or like he wouldn't be able to come even train. Mm. And for me, I was just like, I would just push through it, and I feel like I didn't get as much good effects on, but I also didn't get too extreme effects coming off. So I think everyone's a little bit different, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like it's nowhere near as good as when you're on, and depending on how sensitive you are. And then the biggest thing for me was not so much how I felt. I was always really respectful to everyone around me. I never really got snappy or when I came off, like the thing that I always did was like, I tried to always be able to have sex after. I said, if it ever stops me from ever being able to have sex or get a boner, either on or off, then I'm going to be done and I'm going to find like a really good like doctor or whatever. Yeah. But for me, I was just so headstrong. Like I always just got it done, and I never let it affect any of my friendships or relationships. Mm. But not everyone's like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And some people who have really good results on, they can be 10 times less off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was the same. I never was emotionally like different to people or anything like that. But yeah, like you said, so many people probably would be.
Yeah.
And it depends what you run as well. Like, you know, people, some doses are insane.
Yeah. And you hear of those young bodybuilders dying and you look at Dallas Carver or whatever, the guy lived in America. He was like very young, but very big bodybuilder. Mm. They went through his blood work and actually like put it up on like Reddit and like more dates, more plates, Derek guy. He like read it out and like told us what it actually meant. And he was saying like 5-6 mil of tests, like twice a week, like what, yeah, like stuff that you'd think that would kill someone, or like, why would you, how can you even afford that? And it's like, that was just his life.
Yeah.
And he basically had like a heart attack at like 27.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's, but I don't know. I don't want to keep going on about it, but it seems like one, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Two, do you
here? Really,
yeah.
In certain countries, yeah.
Yeah. Do you really want to be injecting a substance into your body artificially every freaking second day?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a good look. Like, there's no one out there that's, well, there's very little people out there that are killing it in life that are injecting themselves.
Well, it really depends. Like, my argument on that side is just like, for what reason and do they need it and what age they are? Like, anyone under like 35, 40, it shouldn't even be like even in their mind.
Right.
And some people who are successful, that are very headstrong, that are very consistent and use like a TRT through like a doctor's clinic or something, they're also people who just fuck themselves up. Or some people who have had head traumas who play football, or some people who have done boxing or martial arts, they actually need to get on it because they have depression from having naturally low tests. Yeah. And when I say naturally low tests, very, very few people have that. It's more people who get head traumas.
Yeah, yeah.
So you hear of NFL players suiciding or getting schizophrenia or murdering people, or like, you got these really rare cases, and they're like, what? Like, a few years ago, he was at his millionaire NFL like top player to like doing crazy illegal stuff. Yeah. And then they look at their brains after and they're like, oh, he was basically like, no testosterone, his hormones were out of balance, and it was making him have all these emotional problems. So it's like, I think it's good to say, like, if you're medically in need of something, you get your blood work, you go through a proper doctor, you talk to the right people, or you've just fucked yourself up when you're younger and you don't have, really have a choice. But back to maths, like, so what I love, the reason why I spoke about that is because, like, I know a lot of people would be interested in hearing the dark side of what looks like on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, of like, oh, if these people have good physiques when they're in their 20s, they're going to build like an empire. It's like, at what cost?
Yeah.
So what's cool is you get forced basically to take like a detox.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have cameras everywhere, microphones on you. I've never really seen you as someone who was like filming YouTube or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you weren't like a really like...
Yeah. No, not at all. And the thing is, it's funny, like, coming off the gear and then going into the camera setting. Also, I like, for maths, they play like a lot of my backstory, which is like a bit of a broken home kind of story. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going through all this emotional shit, and they're constantly like digging up. They're like, so take me back to your childhood. And
what was your dad like?
Yeah.
And you're like crying, but you're like, I'm just crying because my test is like...
pretty much. So yeah, it was very intense, to be honest. The first day, it's called like the master interview. And it's a 3-hour interview with lights, cameras, producers, and they're just...
To get some like sticky points to put in the first episode.
Yeah, just to get everything.
Just dig. Yeah,
dig for 3 hours. It was intense. I'd never seen cameras like that before. You know what I mean? So
big production.
Yeah, like full the news style camera, big stand. And that just continued on for the whole period.
So let's go back to like, you find out that you're going to be on maths.
Mm.
You would have had to do like a psychology test and all that stuff. Don't they like kind of lock you away a few weeks beforehand? So you can't, or you have to sign a contract that you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, you have to sign a contract. You can't tell anyone. It's funny, the very first dot point on the contract is you may or may not be portrayed in a positive light, and you have to agree to that.
Straight up, the first one.
Yeah, the very first one.
They need to be that. I reckon they use that at the start because, like, previous episodes, people have sued being like, you mixed the wording too deep in the contract. Yeah, so they're like, really simple.
Yeah.
Right at the top.
100%. Straight there. So you have to agree to it.
That just shows you right there the things that you're saying on your story and the things... I have had friends that have been like on certain shows, and like as a guy on YouTube I watch, he was on Love Island in the UK, and he's like, I didn't really get featured on any episodes because I'm just not someone who, I just couldn't do the drama. So I just exited pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much how it works. And you know, it's almost a game when you're in the maths bubble, it's a game. And some people know how to play the game. They know how to play the victim. You play the victim, you get the public backing.
Votes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I honestly feel like if you just be you, you're going to get hated.
Yeah.
But if you play the victim and get offended by everything, they'll play sad music over it, and it works with the storyline.
Yeah, you got to have someone who has your personality that's quite headstrong and won't let someone push them around and mentally blue them or make up shit. And you got to have someone who like is a little bit of a Karen.
Yes.
Because without them, you don't get a nice storyline.
Yeah. For any hero, you need a villain, and the other way around.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So you get, how many weeks are you locked away before, and like they film it all before it airs, or like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it films and you think, fuck yeah, I killed that. Because the producers are always like, people are going to love you. Like they
just, yeah.
They bump you up. Like anything I've ever done that I'm like, oh, why did I do that? It's because the producers are like, oh, this is your endearing trait. People are going to love this. Like, go hard. And then they just twist it on you.
Cut yeah. words here. They use other words in front of you. Yeah.
So before it aired, I'm like, oh, this is going to be sick. I'm going to look like a legend, all this kind of jazz. And it comes out and you're like, oh,
I can't even imagine. I would easily feel it. I would easily be put in the villain because I'm very outspoken.
Yeah.
I can say comments that come across like sexist.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm more of an old school, I want my wife to work from like stay at home mum.
You're
like,
a villain, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm an old school, but I only want that because that's what I believe that most women are actually interested in doing. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, if I had a partner that was making really good money and killing it and just like, that was their dream, if that's what they wanted to do, I would support that. I'd be happy to be a stay-at-home dad, but like, I just happen to be with someone that is more of the support role and I'm more of the outspoken like business role.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think when people hear that, and in saying that, like I run a business where I have over 250 female clients. I only train females now.
Yeah.
And I'm like a big brother coaching kind of like, you know, like an uncle father figure that's always supportive, that tells them like, do what you want to do. Like, and it's so funny. So I'm like, I'm empowering women, but like I'll make jokes on the fly that will come, if they cut that out and put on TV show, I'm getting smoked.
Like, oh, you'd be done for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm of a similar like belief system, like more traditional beliefs.
Yeah. Traditional. And, it's old school.
But we're in an era where, you know, the woke or these people, they will come at you for that, bro. They will come at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're on fucking TV.
If you're on TV, yeah, you'll be public enemy number one. But the thing is, people like us, we will see the truth, but it's this, like, that's something I found, like, every hate message of it. I'll open my phone right now, there'll be, like, three DMs of saying you're a piece of shit, like...
Still?
Yeah, 100% still.
Fuck, you don't have thick skin.
Bro, but the thing is, what I identified quite early on is they're all very similar types of people.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll reply back and I'll say, what don't you like about me? And they'll go, you're just a dickhead. They don't even know why they believe what they believe.
They dated a guy like you in high school.
They think they did.
Or what I mean is like the concept of the... They might have watched one episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they might watch like a story you put up where you're saying something about like the current maths or whatever and they're supporting one of the girls that you're speaking like, I don't agree on this.
Mm.
And I like the way that Joe Rogan says it in a lot of his interviews. Like he'll have someone on that he doesn't agree on and he goes, we can still have a conversation about
it.
Like I think if we have a whole world of everyone agreeing, it's a bunch of robotic weirdness and there would be no television shows. Mm. There would be no drama. There would be no fun. There would be no, because we're all just like lining up being like, yes, we're all on this left side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it would be really strange. So like without you, it's like they lose their drama.
Exactly. And it's something that I found early on, man. Like a whole bunch of people literally don't know why they believe what they believe. They really don't.
Yeah.
Because they'll never have a discussion about it. They'll just throw anger and hate messages. Yeah. And that was my way to deal with it early on. I was like, oh, like the first few episodes, I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm a villain. And I was like a mess for like 3 days. Me and my girlfriend at the time, like, we cried, man. Like, because the episodes came out. It came, bro. The hate.
Or because came. The hate would have come out at each episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as it aired.
They found me, man. They found me on Facebook. People find you. I was a mess for a few days and I started to put the data together. I'm like, oh, hang on. These are all the same types of people. Yeah. That's not actually me that they're watching. They're watching a character of me that they've, you know, that's been created.
Because you film all day or for like, how long do they film for and they take a 40-minute episode? You've got ads as well.
Yeah, it's all day, every day.
So they film all day, every day, and we only get, like, how many times a week is it up? Like 4 times a week?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And so we get probably, like, minus ads, we get 30 minutes of, like, jump cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Staged, like, not staged from your side, but they're curating, they're jumping from conversation to make it look like it's more intense.
Definitely, they have a lot of tactics. Like I could write a book about the tactics they use in order to portray someone as a villain. It's very simple. They play the certain types of music, they'll get an opinion from someone else, a quick cut scene of someone saying something bad about you, for me, they'll like they'll never show like you smiling or being like a positive person because that breaks the character.
Yeah,
you can't show any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have these tactics and it works like a charm.
I mean, like you've, for example, you watch a movie like Batman and you got Bane in it. And because it's a movie and people are like, this is not based on true events, it's Batman, it's Marvel or whatever it is. Bane gets clapped when he gets like a Grammy or whatever. But in the movie, people are like, he's an animal. And yeah, he's portrayed as the villain.
Yeah.
But because it's not based on like reality TV, they're not going to go to the actor after and like go crazy at him, you know? Exactly. So it's like, it's basically the same thing. Like in a way, like you are being yourself, but they're portraying bits of you to create a movie.
Mm. Yeah, it's exactly the same because when I'm in public, I've never, ever had a negative confrontation with a person. It's always super positive. But I guarantee some of the people that like are loving me in, when I see them in the street or whatever are the same ones that have DM'd me without a doubt. There's no way.
Because if they're actually DMing you as a villain, they're watching a show where they're a fan of you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, not the same as what Will Smith did, but let's just say you're Justin Bieber and you get done because you put graffiti on a wall or whatever. It's like your fans then hate you because they were so in love. Like, and I would say that you had that happening as well. Like some people are watching you and they were like leaning on you thinking like, oh, I think he's going to get better. But it's like, if that's not your choice, they're going to keep creating you as like a villain or how do we push the drama? And I love how they give like the cliffhangers at the end of each episode. It's what did Daniel do to
him? No, you have no say in how you get betrayed, regardless of what you do. You could save a puppy on the show and still be betrayed as a villain. Like they'll figure it out. They make decisions.
So you're going through, how long is it filmed for?
Like 3 months, I think.
Fuck, that's a lot of time. You're going through that. You've come off, you know, the bodybuilding, you know, scene basically, which that's a whole different ball game. And then, so your like hormones are slowly repairing.
Yeah.
You're being filmed all the time. You're probably struggling to get sleep because you're like, what's the go? Where do you sleep?
They put you in like apartments and stuff like that.
Yeah. And do you just leave the apartment and go film? So it's like, it's not like Big Brother where you have to sleep in the...
No.
That would be hard.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard.
I know two twins that were on Big Brother like early on.
Yeah.
They were the... there was a guy who was on Big Brother and it was back when they actually used to have like fit... hot people on Big Brother, not just like all these woke, right, like weird... All the new... Like even the new maths, I've noticed like less... like, there's people are going to get me for this, but they're putting less attractive people on and getting more like crazy twisted... Yeah. Personality, which is cool, but like when I used to watch Big Brother when I was like literally like a teenager, this guy was on and I'm friends with him now and I go surfing with him sometimes and we've chatted and like he's a cool guy, but he played as him just himself normally the whole Big Brother, and then halfway through they swapped him out and put his twin in and pretended to be him. It was crazy. It was like a sick twist. Cool, that is. yeah and then people started figuring out pretty quickly because like you're spending a lot of time with these people and they're both pretty fit. And like, I'll even mix up, like I'm not friends with his brother, but I'll see his brother in the surf and I'll go to say hello. And his brother will just look at me like, who are you? And I'm like, oh, like it's the wrong guy. I'm starting to pick it up now. Yeah. But when I was watching that, I would just always think like, okay, you get a fine for not having your microphone on as soon as you speak. As soon as you get out of the shower, microphone back on, like laying in bed, you're like, if you speak to some microphone on and it's like, so intense.
Yeah. You get in a lot of trouble. Like anything that happens outside of filming, like they will kill you. Like everything has to be done on camera.
Yeah.
Because it ruins the show. And that's that's kind of ruined this season a lot. A lot of stuff's happened off camera and they're trying to like recreate it.
Oh, they try to get them to recreate it.
Oh, they like, they just try and retell the story, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Maths kind of wraps up. I did end up in a relationship from the show and I lived with her down in Sydney for about a year. Still coming off gear and stuff like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And then I started to transition into boxing because one of the guys from the show, we kind of had a bit of a beef.
Oh, that's cool. I think I've seen some clips from that. Yeah, so he was actually in the show with you.
Yeah, the guy that I had the fight with was on the show. That's so he's like the hero of the show. Oh, and I'm the villain. And it was like this perfect story.
That's a win-win for both of you, though. Yeah. Really like that. And then you've got obsessed, like you really like boxing now.
Yeah, I've been slack since the fight, but like...
You got to have time off.
Yeah, it was like literally... no weights and every day with the coach boxing training because I was like, I cannot lose this match because again, I'm the villain.
Yeah.
Every poll that was getting put up on social media was like, who's going to win, Daniel or Brent? It would be like 97% Brent, 3% Daniel. Yeah. Like I'm not even exaggerating.
You're like motivated because of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, give me, because man, you got nothing to lose when you're the villain. It's only up from there.
Underdogs are always a good way to be.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, he was a nice guy. So, like, in the lead up to the fight, I could be like, I could prod him and be a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one would like blink an eye, but he had to stay like the nice guy, like portray this.
But didn't he push you in like.
Yeah, yeah. He started to break
character. Yeah.
Because that was my whole plan the whole time, was like, I need this guy to break character. And
he did.
Oh, dude.
He got real weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And he only did it when the camera's on, because there was a video of him walking past you and you were right beside him. There was no one between you.
Yeah, yeah.
He seen you and you looked at him and he kept walking. And then when it was like, when the cameras were on and it was more staged, he's like pushing you and shit. And you're like, smiling because you're like, finally.
Yeah, I was like, got him. Yeah, yeah. Even mentally, like, everything worked out perfect. I felt like I knew his mentality, like, so I don't know why. He fought exactly how I knew he was going to fight, which was aggressive and trying to win for these friends and family, throw big punches, which you see from a mile away. Yeah, it was very interesting.
That's such a cool thing. Like, I haven't done boxing for so long and I love it as a sport. Like, it's humbling too. But it also makes you realize these guys that are doing it, like, you know, Thai fighters that have like 100 pro fights before they're 20 years old, and like the amount of pressure and the amount of dedication you need, because like you could be really good in the first round, but if your cardio is not there, you start to lose out and your movement's not as good, and it's insane. And then all of a sudden you could get like sick or a virus and it could ruin like one of your big fights. It's so much pressure on people.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. But you know what? There's something about like stepping in the ring and having a fight. There's like this primal feeling. It's really hard to explain or describe. I honestly think that like every guy, every man should have like some combat sport event fight in their life, because it's very difficult to explain, but it's a lot of pressure and it feels primal. It feels primal. Yeah. And think about like today's era. We don't like as men have many situations where we're put in a fight or flight.
Yeah.
There's no like rite of passage where like throughout history and culture, there's always a rite of passage for the men to become, or the boys to become men. Now we don't really have that. We've got like soy boys at the desk. Like, well, I'm lucky. I don't have to do that.
Me and Alicia, like Alicia and I were more in Thailand. We came up like, I must have heard soy boy from something, but I kept saying it because I'd get food poisoning or whatever and I wouldn't train for a few days. And I'm like, I'm soy boy. And we'd have this joke and we'd be calling each other soy boy. We just talk shit and have so much fun with it. And I'd always say, like, if I'm being pathetic or being a bit of a, like, bitch, I'd be like, I'm soy boying at the moment. Yeah. I need to eat good food.
Yeah.
I need to see some sunlight. Mm. I need to train a little bit. I need to do something to get, like, I need to get my body moving or whatever. The best thing I probably ever did growing up younger was, like, doing boxing.
Mm.
And I got into boxing because I got bashed when I was in, like, the first year of high school. I got bashed by a Golden Gloves fighter. Like, he was, like, really good. And I didn't really I was in year eight, so I was like, what, 13, 14? I didn't understand if someone had trained that it would be like them being one of the guys from the Matrix and I'm like just a normal person walking around. Like, I remember getting punched, like, I had braces. I got punched like four or five times before I could even throw my hands up.
Yeah.
And my mouth just got mashed and I was like seeing stars. And I was just like, I literally just got bashed so quickly.
Yeah.
And then I went from soy boy where I was like, you know, I thought because I was standing up for myself where I was aggressive that I could fend for myself. But there's a difference between like a guy who doesn't do any training. He's like, oh, I'm pretty good at fighting. It's like, no, you don't have any idea what's going on.
I just see red.
I would just like hurt people. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but what if he just like stays calm and jabs you and moves backwards and you're like, screaming and shit.
Essentially, someone without any combat training will get annihilated by someone with a little bit of training.
Yeah.
Like, it's like so saying, I can beat a tennis player who plays tennis, but I've never played tennis. Like, no, you can't.
He could use like,
it's like
the tennis racket in his elbow.
Yeah, like, just like it's that simple. So,
It's not until you're in that experience, though, where you spar. Like, when I was doing Muay Thai after I did boxing. So, I did boxing for a few years, had a fight, moved into Muay Thai because I was like, I'm really interested in learning how to, like, head kick and do kicks or whatever. I sparred the trainer's girlfriend who was, like, an Aussie champ or whatever, and we had shin pads on and gloves or whatever. And I was like, oh, I've done boxing before. And she was better than me at everything. And she was, like, little.
Yeah.
She could kick. I was getting push kicked in the stomach and, like, she would pull her kicks back right before they would hit me in the face. She would throw a head kick up and then just pull it back. And I'm like, I would have died.
Yeah.
Today, I would have died. And that was a female. And, like, you know, for me, coming from someone who thinks, like, you know, all females should have someone in their life that's like a male that's masculine enough to look after them. Mm. It's like, well, if a female trains, she could probably sort out a lot of people. Yeah. Oh, so early on, I realized, like, even if you're good at wrestling when you're in high school,
yeah,
or you played rugby, doesn't mean that if you went and tried to get in a punch up with a guy who's a pro boxer or an amateur, or even like, you know, there could be a guy who's like really strong. Like, for example, this is a good example because you would know this. You recently, or even now, would have smashed yourself when you were doing bodybuilding.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, but when you were doing bodybuilding, you're like, I could take anyone. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm so strong.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the size means nothing.
It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
But, you know, it's actually interesting because I've probably competed in bodybuilding like 6 times throughout the years. And like the lead up to the boxing match, I found myself mentally in a lot of similar situations as I was bodybuilding.
Dedication to making weight.
Yeah, keeping very, very similar. Like, and the biggest thing I noticed was like maybe at 2 weeks out from a bodybuilding comp, it's like, whoa, this is real. This is really about to happen.
Yeah.
Same thing with the fight. I was like, oh, this is real.
But a bit different with the fight. Like it's just... You don't, when you lose bodybuilding, you're like, oh, I didn't place in a high place. And you're really sad, but you lose a boxing match. It's 2 guys up there and that guy gets to just talk shit. And then you got the biggest pressure on you that you're on a TV show with millions of people watching.
Yeah.
And they want to villain you and like they
exactly. And there's way worse consequences for a boxing match where like if you lose, you could actually get knocked out or you
in front of everyone.
Yeah, in front of friends, family. There's the ultimate humiliation. But for bodybuilding, like I learned to kind of swallow that feeling and let it go quick. Like by the 4th, 5th, 6th time of competing in bodybuilding, I was like, I mastered that shit.
Mm.
Same thing with the boxing. I was like, oh, I know this feeling. Just let it go.
And just think of the worst case scenario and think I'm still more interested to go for it than to not take the opportunity. There's so many men and women out there. And I know so many of them that I've spoke to where I try to inspire them to have the personality type that what we have, and it's not for everyone. It doesn't come natural for everyone. And I actually had to build the skill as well. But to have the personality type that you would rather try and fail than not try at all.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like there's some people out there that are like, I don't like where I'm at in my job, but I don't want to go for this one because what if I lose it? What if I get fired? Or I don't like the body that I have, but what if I don't make it? Or it's for the boxing, like you could have easily been like, I'm not doing this fight. Yeah. Like it's basically lose-lose for you because even if you win, you're still the villain.
Exactly. It was definitely lose-lose. And it's like, it's pretty freaking scary to step in another ring with a ring with another man who has the intent to inflict maximal
damage. Basically try to kill you with gloves on.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a scary thing. But like I was saying before, like as a rite of passage or like becoming a man or even just being a man in general, like it's important to feel that feeling and have the courage to keep going through. A lot of guys probably have never felt that. But they'll probably say, well, we're lucky, we're privileged. Nothing's like the world's fine. I'm never going to be in a situation where I need to kind of step up. But it's not even true. Like there's wars going on right now around the world. There's probably someone getting executed right now by the cartel. Yes, you're safe right now.
In this unique situation. Yeah.
But tomorrow, Trump said it himself, World War III's never been closer. Two years ago, there was a cough. The whole world shut down.
Yeah.
Shit can hit the fan. So no one's running to the soy boys and the blue hairs when shit hits the fan. Yeah. They're running to the critical thinking men. You know what I mean? So
I think my friend has the best quote, and it's from like a smart writer. But basically, you'd rather be the warrior in the garden than the gardener at war. You know what I mean? So even though you don't have, like, you're not a violent person.
Mm.
You're not trying to box people on the street. I think some people think, like, if you say that you're, like, training for boxing, they're like, oh, is it because you want to hurt people? It's like,
yeah, they think that, yeah.
No, like, the people that hurt people are the people that aren't skilled at a sport or of, like, the most calm people that I'm around are the ones that are the best martial artists.
Yeah.
Some people get drunk, make mistakes, whatever it is, but, like, I love that quote because it's exactly what you said, but putting it in a way that people can remember is, it's like, I want to know that if I'm sitting here in my beautiful house with my wife to be and our little puppy, that if three or four Eshays come, they've been riding their scooters around and like breaking into people's cars and like stealing, breaking into people's houses and stuff. And people try to say we're on the sunny coast, one of the safest places, whatever. It's like, this is happening just up the road recently.
Really?
If that happens, I'm like, I dare these kids because like I've been thinking about this. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to like, oh my God, take everything. I'm like, no, get the fuck out of here. Otherwise, you know, everyone's going to get hurt.
But how dare you say that? That's the masculine thing. But you know what I mean? Like just say someone's breaking in, you're going to say to your missus, babe, stay here. I'm going to go see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The soy boys. Babe, let's hide under the
call,
bed.
Yeah, call the police. It's like they're going to be here in 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to rob your place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do things that I didn't want to speak about. Mm. Like you hear of bad stories that happen in other countries or even in these countries and you think, I'm no boxer, Muay Thai, whatever. Like I haven't done any training at all, but I make sure that I do some rounds on a boxing bag or I practice something masculine or strength wise a fair bit here and there just for that chance of happening.
Yeah.
And even having this conversation and sitting down with you, you've inspired me to be like, now that my elbow is repairing, because I had that bicep tendon rupture, which was hectic, one of the most life-changing incidents to happen. Now that I can move it and I'm doing yoga and I'm surfing again, I'm like, why am I not going to a boxing class? Mm. Why am I not going to a Muay Thai class? Where I'm I'm not interested in becoming a pro fighter or anything. I don't want to have a fight, but I need to build my skills up because in my head, I think that I'm still skilled, but it's like, right. We know, like, you're way off, you know?
Yeah, and that there's a little bit of comfort that comes with knowing that you're keeping sharp combat skills for sure.
Yeah.
I think because all guys that have never had any training, we all have had something, like you said, you got bashed.
I got bashed in high school. Like I, in my mind, I thought that I could fight because I was like not scared.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. You know what I mean? Like I'll just see red, bro.
But I think every guy has a situation like that and we all have this thing within us. We're like, fuck, I hope nothing ever happens again.
Mm.
Until you start training, you kind of alleviate a bit of that and you feel a little bit more secure. Okay, if I ever had to defend myself, I feel a little bit more equipped. It's like a secure kind of feeling.
I think it's important too. Like I think people have this belief, like some woke people have this belief that if you train for physical violence, that you want to use physical violence. And 99% of anyone I've ever trained with or I've been around that is a martial artist, like they're the people that have no interest and that will always, they'll actually say no to someone who's drunk at a pub because they're like, I will fuck you up and I don't want to do that because I know what I can do with gloves on and like all I'm going to do is get in trouble because like I'm not going to lose this because you're drunk. I'm like a trained professional or whatever, and it's like all they're doing is like, for example, if something's going down and some lady's getting like grabbed on the street for her bag or whatever and there's guys with a knife or whatever, it's like you just hope to God there's some people around that actually have some balls that have some sort of like protection, you know. Because if you've got a lot of people that are like, I don't like violence, what, you get to witness violence and you have no help over it?
Surely that would be like on their mind forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah.
If it was your missus or something on the street and she got like a black eye or something bad happened to her and you couldn't even, you just went into shock. You know how like a lot of times you think you can deal with physical altercations, but sometimes that fight or flight kicks in and you go to like flight or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be on you for the rest of your life or for years or whatever. So it's like, and I mean, in this conversation, we're not like, not everyone should be like doing combat training, like their life depends on it. But I mean, why not?
I honestly think most guys should, to be honest.
Just do like a friendly class or something.
Do something that's going to test you. Like,
that's what I like about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu, any type of combat. Yeah. Like you need something that's going to test you and like seriously test you. Like there's the threat of hurt.
Yeah.
Because like I said, this is the only time in our culture, I guess our culture has been like modern men like we do, which is pretty privileged.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there has never been a rite of passage. Like there's never been, there's literally every culture has had some sort of thing where the man has to become, the boy has to become a man.
It's still prevalent in Africa and Brazil and stuff like that. In most of the more traditional areas, like they really have a rite of passage. Like they're really pushed. And like you even see the Hawaiian culture, because I like watch a lot of the surfing over there. These guys are hard ass guys. And if you want to surf at Pipeline, you don't just paddle out. You've got to work your way up. You've got to respect the elders and you've got to like drop in and get smashed on the reef. And like, there's a whole process. And these guys will grab you when you're in the water if you do the wrong thing and you drop in on someone and get someone hurt. So like the Hawaiian culture is like, they're the nicest people ever. Like all the Islander people like Fiji, Papua New Guinea, all those people, they're the nicest people ever, but they're literally savages though.
Mm.
And it's because they know that they can, that they have that balance in them, that they're so nice. Yeah. And like, it's always the biggest guy who's like the most friendly most of the time, especially if he's like, you know, done some sports or anything. And I think everyone can have a bit of that. And if you're the smaller guy, like I was and still pretty much is, like compared to like the average of like, you know, like USA average of someone who's like 100 kilos or whatever, it's like, I better have some understanding of how to use my body weight or some physical attributes. Otherwise, like, I'm just a fly on the wall. 100%. You know? So you're in maths and you've got a roller coaster of emotions going on. I haven't got to watch all the episodes.
Mm.
So like, is there a way that I can go back and watch? Like, they have them like on like an app on like...
Yeah. There's like, it's called Nine Now.
Nine Now. Got that on the TV.
Yeah, yeah. It's all there, but don't watch it.
Don't watch it because it just portrays you as like...
Yeah, that just made me look like an idiot because initially I was like probably a good guy and then my initial wife left the show. She just walked off. And then my storyline is a cheating scandal. So when she walked off, I was like, I got with another chick on the show.
But that's the whole point of the show. Like, the only way you stay on there is if you find another partner.
Essentially, the producers lined it all up, and she had no relationship with the guy that she was matched with. She was about to leave, and you know, they'd never even kissed.
Like, so you saved her on the show. Yeah. Saved you.
And then I end up in a real relationship with her outside of the show, but because of that kind of switch,
villain easily. Yeah,
villain, yeah, perfect villain storyline.
I love this. It's so interesting. So like. You only met because it's married at first sight. Mm. So the storyline for maths, because I'm not very educated on it, I want to know, I'm interested, is you all get chosen for the show. They pick all the perfect people who get matched up and plenty of drama.
Mm.
They pick who your proposal girlfriend, soon to be wife's going to be. And what's the show? Like, you're literally meant to marry them straight away, or what's the go?
Yeah, it is a fake marriage though. They don't.
Yeah, it's not like
it's not
legally
like legal,
binding. No. Of course.
So the first time, it's true. The first time you do meet the girl is you're at the altar, you turn around, and then she's walking up.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I was like, I was so freaking nervous.
You don't know who you're gonna get.
I have no idea. I was like, please be hot, please be hot.
Yeah, of course, it'd make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Or not. Please not be an absolute psycho.
Yeah. So that too. So yeah, I turned around. We didn't get along. Like,
of course not.
Yeah, of like, course.
I mean, they probably set up that for a lot of people because what gets ratings up really well is halfway through a TV series, like, let's mix it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to change some stuff up, and it's like, I'm sure their plans all worked all along, and
they have it down to an art. Like, they don't actually match you with who you're meant to be with because you do like 1,000 psychological questions. They know everything. Yeah. So they actually match you with somebody who clashes with your personality because it's good for TV.
Yeah.
Like, that's genuinely what they do. It's not the other way around. So yeah, me and this chick obviously clashed. It lasted a week and then...
And you have to stay with them in an apartment?
Yeah.
Is there some things you legally can't say?
No, I'll say whatever.
Oh, sweet. You're like, fuck them out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So like, you meet her and then that night you have to stay in the same apartment?
Yeah, that night. And we were like fighting the first night. We were like, we just did not get along.
How would you, like, was it like real fighting? As in like...
Yeah, like we just didn't
arguing about shit?
Just moral, like just, we just didn't. She was
literally paired up as like a woke Karen and you're an outspoken like masculine man.
Kind of, not even that. She just like has a particular type.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's hard to, it's a very strange environment. So
it was well planned.
It was very well planned.
So you do that and I'm just getting my head around it because I just get excited about it. I'm sure you're like sick of talking about it, but you meet her, you turn around and it's like you get married right there, you know, on the show. And I'm sure there's everyone who watches this show that thinks it's legally binding and they're like fully into it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fully into it. They're like, they're buying into it like it's real. Everything's real.
No.
And then you go back and you're in the same hotel with her straight away. It's a complete stranger.
Yes. But you spend like the next 5 hours after the marriage, like filming and like having a dinner together. And
straight away.
Yeah, yeah. It's insane.
God, what are you even talking about?
Just the general stuff. And they like kind of stir a little bit of drama and like ask you about this or that.
Are they telling you?
Yeah, the producer will like kind of ask you to ask certain things.
So let's just say like we're filming here.
Yeah.
And I'm the girl, we're having dinner and the producer's behind the camera.
Yeah. And they're everywhere. They're like 20.
Heaps of them and they've all got their little notepads. And they're like, how do we fucking... Yeah. And then they'll stop. Like, they'll keep filming, but they'll, like, obviously they're going to cut what they're going to out, what they're going to say. And they're like, hey, Daniel, what was this thing that you mentioned in one of our conversations? Can you ask about this? Like, they ask you to probe certain things. Yeah,
they'll pull you aside and stuff sometimes, but they try to keep it somewhat real.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you do have a quick break or go to the toilet, they'll come up and be like, hey, remember how you said this? Like, go over that again. And they'll, you know, they'll do that kind of
stuff.
Yeah. Even with, like, you may kiss the bride, we have to do that, like, 3 times. Yeah, the turnaround, have to do that 3 times.
To get the right angle and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you put up something on your story recently where a girl ate her entree and then she said something, and then the next scene, her entree was there again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, like, it's like the sheets have been pulled from the veil. Like, I just, like, I was like, I can't believe how.
Yeah.
And you, like, it's like in when you watch bad stuff that's movies that haven't been directed that well, you're like, you see that this next scene, the girl has like wet hair and then has dry hair, like, instantly. And you're like, that's a real, like, it's legit happening in mass.
Yeah. It happens the whole series, but that time whoever was on set that day, they'd be in so much trouble for letting that get through.
Yeah.
But that's how the whole show is filmed.
They've got to get it done. Like, and no one's going to notice that watching it unless you, someone who's been on the show or you're someone who has that eye that's like, hey, by me picking up on these things, you'll understand why they portrayed me as a villain.
Yeah.
What's weird is even though you were portrayed as a villain, your like social media and like everything blew up and you had like so much opportunity. Like, how, if you're the villain, how are you gaining all these fans basically?
Because the real ones will stick by you. Like, there's the people that are on my side, I would consider like normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal people. But because the show is watched by like late 30s Karens, early 40s.
Because I don't watch it. Right.
Like a majority of it is like mid, like 40s Karens. They'll get behind the narrative and they'll flock to whoever got portrayed as the hero.
Yeah.
And then those that are like, they kind of see what's up. They understand social media and how shit works.
My podcast has like a heap of the girls from Booty by Jax that would be watching it, listening to it.
They probably hate me.
Yeah, but they're getting to see a different light of you. Yeah, and that's why true. I think it's important to have you on to talk about it, because like for me, like I don't think we personally met before today, right? Yeah. But I've spoke to you so much online before mass, a bit after mass, because I was so proud of you with like going away from the bodybuilding scene, because I'd done the same, but not fully detached. And I believe that I have body dysmorphia and that I believe that the more I got into surfing, it really helped me like recover from thinking that I need to get my pro card, I need to keep competing. And like, because I went to America and competed in WFF North Americans, and like I did like I came third in Australia 3 times in a row. The guy that I beat in one of my comps got his pro card the year after, so I had this belief that like I need to get a pro card. And then I realized, oh, why am I trying to get the pro card? Oh, because I want to build my brand. Because isn't this about building my brand? Like, I want to make a bigger brand. It's like, oh, well, all the other guys have their pro card, my social media is actually bigger than them, because I'm outspoken and I have a real personality. And I'm not saying they don't. I'm good friends with a lot of them. But I just mean that, like, I don't need to do bodybuilding to grow the brand. And that's become even bigger now. Like, if you're someone on YouTube who just does vlogs, like, you can go way further, you know? Or if someone who goes on a reality TV show, like, that's really cool.
No, that's interesting, because I find myself, I was in the exact same situation when it comes to competing. I was like, I need to get my pro card. Like, I kept coming first, second, first, like close. And I was so set on it, like, this needs to happen.
It's but
I
actually posted in front of you.
Yeah, it's like this illusion of what you think you need. But I actually posted a thing the other day, and it's kind of in relation to this. It was, the best thing that never happened to you is the best thing that ever happened. Like, it kind of along those lines. Yeah,
like, because if we got our pro card, like, bro, do we do more? Card,
we would be on more gear, we would be deeply attached
to the brand,
yeah, like
going to all their little pro meetings, little sachets and shit, like the girls wear, and they make you like, not make you, they're like, well, that's what they said they would talk to me and saying like, the pros will need to come to all the other shows to be a part of the brand, and it's kind of like a Louis bag. A pro card is like having, or like a Rolex, it's like, but instead you have to say that to 3 random judges that, and these comps, I didn't get paid for any of my comps. I paid to go in these comps. Like,
you lose money.
I was getting paid nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you place well and you do your photo shoots and you make good content, and I think a lot of the growth is the transformations you go through, like teaching other men or female how to like grow certain muscle groups and everything. So you see guys coming up and girls coming up now where they do educational based videos on like YouTube or TikTok, and they're not interested in competing at all, and they've got this amazing brand.
Yeah, you don't need a pro card. People have this idea that a pro card is gonna, life's done. Like you've succeeded.
I truly thought that.
Yeah, so did I. So did I. I was like, this is everything. I would die for this. Like I thought it was everything, but it's nothing.
And then people that know is like, you change your name to WBFF Pro. And I was like, I would have done that for a few months for sure. Yeah.
But it brings very little value, if anything, holds you back, because now you're attached to something.
And now you've got to compete against the pros. Yeah. So the best genetics, the best, you don't know how much money they have or whatever, but you're going against the best guys in the world in a pro comp. And then you want to win worlds.
Mm.
And then what next? Like, it's like this.
And it ties back to the steroid addiction. You have to increase your doses. You have to stay on for longer. Like, it all ties back. Like, there's a lot of positives. I'm not trying to hate on competing. No. But there's a lot of negatives and a lot of delusion associated.
Yeah. I agree. It's like, the narrative is that, like, when you get, and it's still a big thing, even people who don't, like, I'm actually more upset at people who aren't competing who take a heap of shit just to get better videos on TikTok.
Mm.
It's like, that's pretty popular now.
Yeah.
At least we were trying to, have a career where we're doing something that's like, you know, it's not a sport.
Yeah.
But like you said, your preps for your bodybuilding competition definitely helped you when you got to boxing, because it taught you how to switch that. Absolutely. Like, you get to like 6 to 8 weeks out, and you're like, okay, it's about to get real serious, and maybe some of the things I'm going to do aren't the most healthiest, as in like how lean you get and how dedicated you get, where you're carrying like containers around to your friend's places just to see them, and they're having drinks, and you're like, I got to have a glass of water, and then going at 7, and you're like, what? Like,
Yeah, you, like you said, you're better off getting shredded and making like a ton of TikTok content and stuff. Yeah. Like, especially if you want to make money, there's no money in competing. Like, unless you're the elite of how many people in the world? 7 billion.
If you're C-bum,
then you've made it.
But then you look at him when he was like 17, Natty, and you're like, well, there's a reason why he's here. Yeah. It's like, yes, he's dedicated. Yes, he trains hard. Yes. But he started in like an amazing platform.
He's got perfect genetics, and genetics play a role, unfortunately.
I say this to people when I talk about, I've got a friend who's an Olympic swimmer. He's just recently retired. And I think he went through a bit of a mental shift when he retired, because he actually was like swimming at the fucking Olympics. He was like a freak of nature, trained since he was like 10 or 8. Like, you know how in Australia they bring swimmers up from very young. Like, it's insane. And I look at his physique and it's crazy. Like, he has a smaller waist than me, but he's like 6'4 or 6'5. And just everything about his physique is a swimmer's physique.
Looks like a fish.
Literally. He has like a long torso, very long arms, and he can surf so good. He paddles, he goes out when it's big, and I'm there trying to keep up with him. My little arms, I got all these long legs that don't do anything, like when you're surfing. And like, I realized that like, I could have trained just as hard as him. I'm never going to make it to the Olympics.
Never.
I don't have the body shape for it. Yeah. And they don't really talk. I'm sure when you're with a swimming coach and you get really pushed when you're younger, you get to a certain age where they're like, all right, like, but they don't talk about it enough. Yeah. Like, people say, oh, if you're dedicated, if you follow this, if you follow that, you know, you could become anything you want. They always say you can become anything you want. And I'm all about inspiring and going hard, but like, genetics, your body type, your personality type, like that will come into how far you'll be able to go with things.
If you want to be the top 1%, for sure.
Mm.
I'd be interested to hear more about your perspective on masculinity, or like the relationship between men and females.
Oh.
Do you have any
I can talk about that.
Yeah, I'll share some of that stuff.
So I like to use Alicia as an example, because then I'm coming from a point of view where if I was talking about masculinity and how I believe that there's some negative sides on these like crazy pro sexism, like what's it called, like girls who are like, you know, I'm all about equal rights and stuff, but there is certain books and podcasts and girls out there that are like pushing the narrative of women can do anything that guys can do and we don't need men. And it's what it's doing is there's a lot of men in their like 20s to 50s that are in relationships that are getting demasculated by their partners, by them saying like, they'd walk around in the house being like, or tell them or whatever, like reading books or watching shows in front of them being like, I don't need you, like, I can provide for my own or whatever. I can always just get some guy from Dubai to sugar daddy or whatever it is. Like, they're reducing the quality of their partner by, like, not valuing what their real purpose is there. Right. And you see a lot of young men these days that are really fucking confused. And there's guys growing up that are like, literally there was an 18-year-old kid who suicided, jumped off a bridge here on the sunny coast like a few months ago, landed on a car on the highway, like full like hectic. And they hushed it away from the news and stuff because of course you don't want to be like promoting that. But I spoke to one of the support worker guys that are dealing with the families and the trauma right now. And just hearing it, I spoke to him after a yoga and just hearing it made me really like realize, like, I wonder if we're like pulling back. We're giving so much of the pro women's power and strength, which I'm all supportive. You know, this is a podcast, you know, where I have clients, like women that I'm empowering them and stuff. But I speak about this to my clients all the time. Do you want your partner to think that he doesn't have a value in masculinity? Like, do you want your partner to not want to be strong and look after you? And like we were saying before, when someone breaks in your house or when something happens or when shit's hitting the fan, do you want someone who's going to support you and look after you? And for me, I'm very lucky. The partner I have, and I think it's probably the only, not just the only person, but the personality type that I would suit the best, like being with Alicia for 12 years now, and we don't have a perfect relationship. Nothing's perfect, and it's up and downs. But overall, we're on cruise control. We're pretty good because she values my masculinity. I value the softness in her and her support. I value knowing that like she has more roles around the house, and people can get upset when I say this, but some girls dream of this. There's actually a turnover right now where there's a lot of women that are growing up that are just dreaming, I can't wait until I find a man that has those, like those, that side that want that again. So she loves her position of being, she would love to be like a stay-at-home mum. Like we just got a puppy recently and she's like a stay-at-home puppy mum. And I'm out working and doing hard stuff. But this is the biggest thing I want to say about this. I'm not saying that what I'm doing is more important than what she's doing, because without her, I get back from like personal training clients, like you would like relate to this, and you just can't be fucked eating and you're stressed and everything. I get home and I've got her there with a meal and she's cleaning the house. And it's like, wow, like we are a team. And if you get two partners, the government, I could talk about this heaps, the government want us to have two people working in a relationship because we get two tax.
Yeah.
So by having the woman on high turnover and the male on high turnover, you get tax from both people, and it's harder to make like a company that has more of a better beneficial tax bracket. Also, when the woman gets pregnant, this is the thing I always ask women that are like pro, like, yeah, I want to work and blah, 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 and I'm all supportive of that, but we, as men, we can't get pregnant.
Exactly. That's the biggest difference.
When they get pregnant, they have to eventually take time off work. And when the baby's born, the baby needs to be with them all the time. Yeah. They need to have time off.
Exactly.
So if they're the sole provider and making as much or more than the male partner, becomes a fucking problem.
Yeah, of course.
There becomes a, not just fairy tales and we're reading books and talking about like how we want to be empowering to this and we want to bring the power down from the men. And I get it. There's dictatorships and there's countries where there's some fucked up things happening where men are just disgusting. But for example, in Australia, like most of all, like a good partner is a good partner, not depending on how much they make or what they do. But when you get into that role where the woman's pregnant and looking after the baby, if the male went from relying on the female's income, now there's a problem. You've got a baby in the world, you can't afford to feed your fucking family.
How dare you?
How dare I say that? Yeah.
Like, and but that's exactly right. That's the biggest difference, is they are the ones that create the human and breastfeed and take care of the human in that early stages.
Even if we could have kids, they're just better at it. They're so like the way that I see Alicia with our puppy, and it's funny, people will laugh at me when I try to compare a dog or a puppy to a child. Of course, I don't know what it's like to have a child, but I have a lot of friends that have had multiple children while I've been friends with them, and I've watched them grow up and I've spoke to them, and some of them have been like, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done, it's been the most rewarding. So I've had a little part in it. What I can see is like Alicia is just, and like females on average are just genetically and personality type just way better at the caring side.
Yeah, the nurturers.
The nurturers, yeah. Like, I think we would really struggle to do that on our own while our partner is at work. Now, it can work, and I would love to be a stay-at-home dad one day. But I would really feel like I could do more. I feel like I've got this tribal thing in deep in me that's instilled that I want to be like a leader, and I want to push myself. I want to be at a business or at some workplace where I can really improve the skills and make more money and provide. Yeah. Like, I want to be a provider.
Yeah.
I feel like without me providing, I would probably have some problems mentally.
Yeah. You say you feel it deeper because it is literally in our DNA.
Yeah.
Throughout human history, the men have been the hunter, the provider, where the women have been the nurturer, the ones that grow the baby and nurture the baby. It's literally in our DNA.
It's funny if when you say it like that, it's just simple.
Mm.
Close, signed off, close the book, like we're done on that conversation.
But there's feminists at the front door right now.
That's the word I was thinking about before, feminist, not sexist or whatever, because sexist is when you're on the other side speaking badly of it. But I feel like I am all empowering for women, but there's these feminist books that these like mothers are giving to their like daughters, or they're like watching shows with their family, and like some of the things they say is like, it's extremist.
Mm.
Like, some, it's quite extreme. Like, yeah, they're like dragging men down to try to bring the woman up, when no, I would rather see the women come up to meet in that middle set area if that's what a partner wants to do. Mm. And there's plenty of, I've got friends that are in relationships where the woman actually makes more, and yeah, they've figured out that balance, but she came up to there, not dragging him down to even them out.
100%. And even like you said, like there's this new woke movement of, and it's a very like hot topic at the moment, of turning men or adding more femininity into men, which I get in some regards, but how far do we want to take it?
Mm.
Because like I said before, imagine if a war broke, are we really looking at the feminine men to be at the front line, to lay out the blueprint and go, all right, we need to move from here to here? Are we really looking at the blue hairs, the Fortnite players,
like,
to make the critical decisions?
Yeah.
Like, it's very important for masculinity and the critical thinking men. I don't think turning men into women is the answer.
I feel like that there's just so many opinions right now on this, but if someone actually was put into a virtual situation, like a physical situation right now, and I'm not saying like we're talking about before, where it's like violence or someone's coming into your house, but if... I think 9 out of 10 women, if they had a choice and they were to trial a week of living as like having a little baby and they're looking after it, or a daughter or a son, and they're doing things at home and they're supporting the house life, and then the man is at work doing this, and they trial that out for a week, and then we switched it. And then sometimes when you switch it, you don't just switch it, you actually remove the male and the kid. Because a lot of women that are aspiring businesswomen, we look at it now, and I love Chris Williamson's podcast and a lot of people that have been speaking about that subject on his podcast, because he speaks about really good facts. He's like, there's been a high percentage of women who are babyless in their 30s and 40s now, and it's becoming like a little bit of a problem where, okay, if you want to have the high earnings of a male, the peak of your career is probably, you know, at the end of your 20s, between 30s and 40s, until your energy drops off. And that's also when it's probably the safest to have a kid.
Yeah.
So what we're happening is, like, if you take away the situation where you're at stay-at-home mum and you want to be the sole provider and you don't need, I don't need no man. Mm. Like, I'm all supportive of that. But trial that out, and I think they have no kid. They're by themselves. They're working their ass off, and they're still getting some situations where they feel uncomfortable in certain workplaces because they're probably surrounded by more men.
Yeah.
And I'm all for females having more career opportunities and more equal pay and everything. But I think if you gave 9 out of 10 girls a choice, women a choice, after they've lived in it, not just the idea of the choice, because the same as what we were talking about earlier before the podcast, like my idea of what I thought successful when I was 18 is different to now. If you gave them the living reality of it, I think they would choose to have a kid and have a partner that is a provider.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that group is growing right now. It's like a push against and I don't like to just call it feminist, it's like an extreme feminist.
It is an extreme feminist.
There's two different ones, and I think it's really good for us to like,
yeah, it's extreme,
to stipulate and bring them apart, because like I'm supportive of women who want to have a high earning role, and like I'm like, for example, I watched the professional surfing. And for a while, the female surfing wasn't at the level where they could be asking for the same money as the men. And it was a hot topic. But just recently, there's a few women that surf at the level of the top 30 men, so close that like I have to pick it out to even see the difference. They're power surfing, they're surfing the same size waves. And I'm like, okay, Now you get the big sponsors. Mm. You're on the big platforms. They've brought, they didn't bring the other male surfers down.
Yeah.
They just, because the surfing community is male dominated. So the women are just like, oh, how do we get seen? Instead of complaining about it, we're just going to become very fucking good.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. But in one of the episodes I was watching, it's on the Make or Break on Apple Plus. It's this World Surfing League series. And Stephanie Gilmore is the goat of surfing. She's 8 times world champion. Insane surfer. She was saying in one of the interviews when they were filming her in the car, they're like, oh, the professional male surfers, they've got 4 or 5 kids because their partner has kids and they keep surfing. All the top female surfers, they can't have kids because they can't have time off.
Exactly.
Because if you having a year and a half off surfing could end their career. So she's in her, I think, late 30s and she doesn't have a child. And as she was saying this in the car, saying, oh, it's easy for the guys. They just pop out kids while they're still getting paid to surf. She's like, I'm the provider. I don't get that choice. And I was like, it hit me where I was like, okay, like I love seeing that women are up to this level, but I'm like, is she going to, in 10 years time, is she going to be like, I wish I had like children or whatever?
Mm, mm, it's probably,
it's so hard. It's so hard. Like women have it hard. Like there is a lot of challenges.
There is a lot of challenges, especially if they take a sporting route, like as their career, for sure.
Yeah.
Like you said, that you can't have that break. If you want to be at the high level of anything, you can't have a kid.
It's insane. And the men,
We just pop it out. All right, back to work.
That's what she said. Yeah, and it was an interview in the car. And I was like, and her boyfriend was with her in it. And he was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I can't carry the baby for you. Like, yeah, it's insane.
It's just the reality.
So what's life been like? Let's go back. You're out of maths.
Mm.
It would have been a real weird roller coaster going from having cameras on you all the time and being someone who like had this following that was mostly like bodybuilding and fitness, which bodybuilding and fitness, like it's not the biggest niche, like comedy, anything else is bigger niche. So you went from getting just like a few people who would message you saying physique's looking good, like similar to what I get. It's, I don't really have any like massive fans. You get out and it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster because initially you do a lot of appearances and stuff like that, like
on radio and
radio and go to events like club openings or.
And you're still trying to get villained in these.
I'm still
in the radio. Yeah,
yeah. Oh man, the radio appearances. That's a whole other story, but. Yeah, so pretty different lifestyle, but then that all calms down and you get back to reality. And I was, like, to be completely transparent, I was in a bit of a situation where I was like, okay, everything's calmed down. Now I'm in a relationship with a girl that I met on a show, kind of unique circumstances in which you would meet someone. I'm in a different state. My career, I pretty much threw away to come on this show.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of stuff kind of crashing down for a moment for myself after the show. I was, you know, I these days I kind of question like depression and anxiety. I'm like, oh, is it biological? What is it? For me personally, it's always been circumstantial. Like,
it's for me too. Like, yeah. I do believe there's people out there that literally either they get to a certain part of their life where their testosterone's too low, or they've had a head injury, or they're born and they have their hormones are not right. Yeah. But I agree. Like, I just spoke about mental health just yesterday on my Instagram and I had some feedback from it because I try not to speak out about it too much. I like to just like keep to myself and deal with it, but that's not the best way to deal with it. And I feel like it's very circumstances, like right now, like cost of living and things like that.
Oh, 100%. And the thing is, like, that's a whole nother story. Like, socially people put it out there because it'll grab attention. And like, I know a lot of people online that they just talk about it so much because it's such a hot topic.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, getting back to myself, it was for me very circumstantial. I was a mess, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I just started kind of getting my shit back together. Started getting my career back together. I wasn't necessarily doing personal training, but I was still in the fitness industry. And then my relationship kind of fell apart. And then I went to America for 4 months.
So why not? Like,
yeah, like just kind of get away because so much stuff kind of came crashing down at once. I just needed to like get away and just like, let me just get back to like the baseline and figure some stuff out.
People in America probably don't watch maths.
I was actually surprised. There was a few, but like, I don't know how many, because they did air it in America as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was such a popular season.
You would have felt more comfortable walking around over there.
Yeah, it was very different. It was good, but very different but good.
America's amazing. Like, there's some things that aren't so good about it, but like overall, it's like, well, traveling's amazing. Like, just getting new experiences. So financially, like, when you finish the show, like, you get some benefits and you get to grow a little bit more of an audience, but similar to what I've seen, what are people that were on Big Brother.
Sorry, go ahead.
It can decline when the new shows start.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it kind of spikes, but like, there's that initial peak after the show, and then it declines. It depends what you want to do with your life.
Depends what you decide.
Yeah,
you
know? And I don't want to be like a constant, I'm going to a new opening, or I'm being in appearances like that. It just doesn't really interest me. But I started an OnlyFans.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I wish I did it earlier.
Yeah.
Because all the hype was at an all-time high, and I was like, let me capitalize on this. I started an OnlyFans, and it freaking made me a lot of money, like, considering.
You got to do it when that following is high, because, like, these shows will... It's like Biggest Loser, Big Brother, any of these, like, reality-style shows. Like, they put people in, they hype them up, and then they spit them out. And there's... Genetically, we're very happy, not because we have peak success, but because we have progress.
Yeah.
Happiness is not... And I've learned this the hard way. Happiness is not achieving something big and then falling off or staying there. Happiness is actually having small steps over a long amount of time. Like, progression is actually how we stay happy.
Yeah.
So for you on the show, for other people on the show, it's like this big peak.
Yeah.
And it's emotionally, and that's probably why there was a lot of things that people didn't understand, or you were even confused, like when you either had this breakup with this lady, with this girl, and it's like, yeah, it was real. Yeah, I did love her, but like, we fell in love on a TV show, and we didn't know, like, because you can love someone and everything can be amazing, but you move to where they live and you move into a house and it's different. The environment's different.
Extremely different. And yeah, like you said, you met on a show in extremely unusual circumstances. And then when it's all over, it's like, oh, hang on, this is real and we're here. And we did try. We tried our best.
Yeah, of course.
Sure. Yeah. And then OnlyFans, like a couple of other boys from my season did it, and they were absolutely killing it. And I was like, man, I'm jumping on this. Like, it'd be silly not to. I've got nothing to lose.
Literally, there's bags of money in front of you, and you're like, why not? Especially because you did bodybuilding. You were showing yourself in like a speedo on stage for free. You were paying to show yourself.
Yeah.
You could do some towel selfies and some like I had an OnlyFans a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I had it when it was like taboo. And people think that if I say that I was like showing a lot of stuff. And it's like, I never showed myself fully nude.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get a photo of me in Bali, like with my ass out from the back. And I'm like, I would do that with people in front of me. Like, I'm like crazy. Like, I'd run around and jump in the pool, like I'm like streak, whatever. But never showed myself nude. When I say nude, I mean like here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if someone sees my ass. Yeah. Like, and you have like gay following and they pay for like that stuff. And I do towel selfies. And I just do, sometimes I just like, some of the most likes and the most messages you get on OnlyFans is when you just do like the same kind of photo that you would do on another platform. Yeah. But just put it on there and not somewhere else, and they feel like they get like that personal like touch.
100%. Yeah, mine was very PG in comparison to a lot of people as well. Like, a lot of people like doing porn and stuff. I was like doing none of that. Mine was like super PG.
Yeah.
I had a management company like working on the inside pretending to be me, and like
perfect,
just doing, I did nothing. I just stood back and got the bag. It was so easy, but it kind of afforded me, like, it gave me the money to kind of, and I went away at the same time to America, and I kind of like reconfigured what I wanted, the direction I wanted to take my life. And like, I'm working on stuff and doing things at the moment that I probably won't really even talk about, because I've just found in life, like, every time I've kind of talked about things prematurely, I don't know what it is, but I feel like it jinxes it.
I feel, I used to do this all the time, eh? Like, my friends would even say, or you say, gonna, like, I'm gonna do this. Because I like to like, speak my goals. Like, I get my clients to tell me what they want to achieve by a certain date, send me their before photos, write it down, say it to me like face to face if we're personal training. Like, I like to them to tell me, and I said, post it on your social media that you're going to try and get to a certain body fat, or you're going to try and achieve this health before your wedding or whatever. Now, that's good when it comes to like putting some social pressure on, like, you know, I'm going to do a boxing fight and you advertise it. You have to train.
Yeah.
It's easy to train when you know you've got the date to go. But when it's a business where you're having to like come up with like a brand and then like the marketing and the product or anything, like you're coming up with like a new service for something, if you give sneak peeks about that early on, it's like people can sabotage it, or you can be self-sabotaging in a way where like it would have, it's good that you just keep it to yourself.
I was interested to hear your perspective on that. Yeah, you're right, because, and you know what it is, when you start a business, it's like, it's never a straight line, so you're always changing. So if you say, oh, I'm doing this, guys, and you speak it out, and then for whatever reason you've changed directions a little bit, people are like, well, what about this?
Yeah.
Why can't you just stick to this?
Because
it's never
things
straight.
Things change. Yeah.
It's always...
Like, I literally have a box over here with heaps of booty by Jacks, hip thrust pads, ankle straps, booty bands, and I get messaged about them every week. Hey, one of these girls I know, or I've seen in one of your videos, or a lot of people say in the gym, or this girl that I know is using one of your equipment, can I buy it?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, before we went over to Bali and Thailand, where I had 3 or 4 months of traveling as like our pre-honeymoon thing, I took the website down because I deliver them all myself. I package them in this room and the guy comes to the door and picks them up or whatever for delivery. And when I was away, I'm like, I can't sell them. So I got rid of the store because it was costing me to have the store. And to be honest, and I'd be completely transparent about this, I basically lost money on that business. And I was hyping up at the start. Like, I was like, okay, like people I follow that have a big following, they make like a product. And then like people were doing drop shipping, which I didn't want to do that. I wanted to feel what it was like to package it myself. Yeah. I know each customer's name and I didn't pay myself to package it. And I'd only make a small profit on each one. And even when we've done sales, we just sometimes break even. And now I've got a box of this stuff. And yeah, people message me that want to buy it. But like, I think for me, it's like, this was really amazing for brand awareness for my online coaching and my app, and that's been really successful. So like for me, if I was just talking about this and hyping this up, now people would be like, what's this now?
Yeah, so what's going on?
Like,
and it's just unnecessary, you don't need it. And the thing with that, even, it's good to like learn from that, move on. Like you do in a bodybuilding competition, like you feel that pressure, swallow it, move on, keep working. Same thing with business stuff. Little hiccups happen, didn't work out how you thought, cool, just let it go, try something different.
I learn a lot from just like a few of the people that are based in like the UK. They're in the fitness space, like, because those guys are right into fashion and stuff as well.
They are. The UK boys got
And they were the first guys on OnlyFans. They were the first.
Oh,
like,
really?
And like what we're talking about before about empowering women, I can tell you right now, women make 10 times as much as men on OnlyFans.
Dude,
and there
so
is
much.
There is certain spaces where women will out-earn men over and over again. Yeah. And that is one of those spaces. Now, I've spoken about it on my podcast with sex specialist, relationship coach that I had on last. I don't agree on young girls doing OnlyFans unless they've got thick skin and they write exactly what they're okay with doing and they were okay with what their kids are going to see one day or what their parents or their family are going to see. Because as men, like putting up an ass photo or a towel selfie or just like a nice photo, it's like you would be more than happy for your future kids to see or whatever. It's like your son or your daughter would be like, yeah, my dad does a piss in the backyard. Like we're Aussie, you know, it's pretty open. But as a woman, like the demand that a guy will message him and say, I'll give you $50,000 for like a dildo show or this or like really extreme stuff. And to a young girl, that is a lot of money.
Mm.
They could buy their dream car or it's life changing. They could buy all the dresses and clothes on fucking That So Fetch or whatever it's called. So I always recommend not to, but we're speaking in a situation where you're an adult, you're 32, right?
Mm, yeah.
Look good for your age, man. That mask must not be not too stressful, you know?
Yeah. But do you know what's interesting about the girls that kill it on OnlyFans? You'll find like these super hot girls, they've been getting hit up by guys since they were 15, by older guys, offering them service. Like, there's a lot of creeps in the world.
Yeah.
It's just the reality. The world's a crazy, cruel place. Like, my ex was getting hit up by guys when she was 15, and it's not uncommon.
No.
So by the time they get legal, they're instantly on OnlyFans now because social media and stuff, they just understand that it's that accessible.
If they've got a long-term plan, which most young people don't, even I wouldn't have known how to.
Yeah.
For me, it was just a bit of side money. I was never like famous or I wasn't showing much. So it was just a bit of side money while I was personal training and whatnot. And I was an opportunity where I'm like, I can see a bag in front of me. Like, I'm going to take advantage of it. Like you know, I seen the guys from the UK who are like awesome fashion brands and they're killing it. And then they're like putting OnlyFans links up. And I'm like, oh, that's that taboo thing. Like, are they doing porn? And then I met a guy at a competition who was from the UK when I was in America. And he was like, oh, like I just do like the same content that I do on my Instagram. Yeah. I've actually taken it off my Instagram. I put it on my OnlyFans. I just put a little bit more PG on my Instagram. I'm not doing porn. I'm not getting fully nude or whatever. And I'm making about X amount. And I'm like, oh, sick. Like, and I was at an age and a thick skin and the tough street skills that I was like, I will never show this or that. Like, I understand my value and what I'm doing. I feel like a lot of young people, like, and I mean, I think in 50, 60, 100 years, it'll get to the point where, like, it's either all AI or people are just going to not, clothes won't even be a thing. We're going to go back to the tribal days. We're like, what? If everyone was naked, there'd be no value in seeing
all these things. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, who knows what it'll be in 50 years.
It's crazy, eh? Like, because I'm 31, you're 32. We were in high school when color phones came out.
Yeah, I know. It's
kind makes of us weird. Sound older.
Yeah, it does make us sound
but
old.
But it's the multiplier of technology.
Yeah, it's gone so quick. AI is definitely the thing that's going to take over.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I see the way AI is, like, I did an Instagram video and it got a lot of, like, comments and reactions and stuff. And I was like, it should, because there's these TikTok filters that are coming out now where you can put your hand in front of the TikTok and it doesn't change the filter. You know how usually with filters you can tell, like, the lips or, like, the brows or something, if they move the camera or if they put their hand in front of it, it glitches. This one is full AI to the point where she could do a TikTok page for a year, and the only way you would know it's a filter is if you click on and make sure you check if it's a filter. Mm. There's people that probably have apps now, which is an awesome business idea, where you have an app that uses the same filter that they have on TikTok, but no one can tell you're using a filter. Yeah, you're uploading it from a saved file.
I'm sure that would be
out. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's already there. Like, yeah, it's insane, right? Sometimes you'd be like Snapchat and you'll go through while the camera's looking at you, and it, like, each one's like changing your face in a weird way. Like your nose smaller, your jaw like different.
It's crazy. And the girls' ones are so good that now all of them are using it to the point where, like, oh, you're... And these girls would argue in the comments saying, like, oh, I think the girl... Because there was a video I put up where the girl has the filter on and then she turns the filter off and she looks so different. And these girls are like, oh, it's just like makeup. I'm like, no, it's not. Because when you come to my house... You've got makeup on, like, yes, like, I'm not a big supporter of makeup, but, like, look good if you want to look good. If you don't have the perfect skin, that's fine. Like, if I didn't have good skin, I'd definitely consider it as well, or I'd do something about it or whatever. So I can't relate. But makeup is, like, it's been around for so long. You understand you have to put it on, take it off. And with makeup, you're not, like, changing your ear or moving. Like, yes, you can contour, but we've hit the limit with makeup. Yeah. By saying this is the same as makeup, it's like, well, no... You modify the way your body looks, you modify the way your nose and your cheekbones and your lips and everything is, and then you speak to a guy, he becomes, like, interested in you, and then you meet up with him and you're not even the same person.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. I've been catfished.
You have been.
You got to do your homework.
You got to look for bottom down, like, full size bikini.
I need a lot of evidence now.
Like, video calls, like, on demand, like, it's crazy. So, like, what's the fucking, like, I don't want you to give away any of the stuff you're working on, but like, what's your lifestyle like now? Because I actually am interested to see, like, it's going to be challenging for some of the people on maths to find their new way, like their lifestyle now around outside of being the person that was on maths.
Yeah, it's essentially their identity.
That's it, identity. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I guess my life's pretty simple. It is still training, very focused on, like, business. I'm still in the fitness industry to some degree, and I would be open to talk about wear and stuff like that. But people are crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And not that I'm important enough for people to do
no, but stuff. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, especially because the people that follow me, I've got a very small community, and the people that follow me, they follow me from me being a personal trainer. So I want them to know where I am.
Yeah.
But with you, they followed you from reality TV and you're the villain on that show, you know what I mean? So, and some things are better left private, you know? Yeah. Like, I used to share a lot more about my life, and I think that's how I grew a following on my personal page and my Booted by Jax page. I was an oversharer, but, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm just like, as you were saying about the business, like, I've got some things that I'm kind of working on as well. Nothing like life changing or, like, you know, I've got my things that are working, but like, you know, like, you know, properties, this and that. I'm like, I've got goals, but I'm just like, hey, we'll just work on them in the background.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's for this year for me, man. It's just, I'll do a little bit of traveling, but I don't know. It's kind of dicky to say, but this year I'm really focused on money, like wealth, gain. Yeah.
Let's be honest. You have to be. Otherwise, you end up being in a bad mental space because cost of living, you know, property. I think everyone should eventually work to have you know, I'm all about traveling. I've been to Europe. I went to the big Europe trip. I've been to America, Canada, Barbados. I did a lot of traveling, working with companies and whatnot, and just like saving all my money and spending it all on traveling. Mm. But to build a home that I can put a roof over my fiance Alicia's head and our little puppy, and like for me even, you know, to have a roof over my head, like that was really important for me because I don't know your whole backstory, but I grew up without a father and I grew up pretty poor as well. Mum always put good food on our table and was always supportive and loving. Mm. But I had no internet at my house until I moved out. Like we had no fancy shit. I didn't have no motorbikes, we had love. But in saying that, I like to have a goal of getting a property. And if it's not property, I mean getting yourself money to be able to make choices, because money doesn't go very far right now.
Yeah. It's security, and I feel like that's what most people want, or most men, like that security, like feeling secure is such an important feeling. So, to get my wealth up as much as humanly possible.
I think you're at an age where like you need to do it now to get ahead.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's a tough time to do it right now, but if you can do it now, you can do it at any market.
Yeah. That's the plan.
All right, brother.
Legend.
Thank you so much. That was sick. That was a good chat. That was really awesome. Hope you guys liked it.